Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task, never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. Here's your host, Alan Weisberg.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of School of Human Potential Radio. Today, we're talking about meditation, and not meditation that's going to take you a few years to complete, then you start now, breathe in, and you're gone for the next century. Not that type of meditation, although that would be fun, and I think that's called samadhi. I read that in the book somewhere. Today, we're going to be speaking with a person who helps us do meditation in the real world. Only a few minutes a day, and you get all the fun in those few minutes. So Dina Proctor is going to come on in just a few minutes. She's the best-selling author of Madly Chasing Peace. But before we bring Dina on, in terms of meditation, just sharing some of the personal experiences with you, meditation has always been one of those things that I've been meaning to do and always finding reasons not to do. It's a weird scenario because I know how good it is for me. I know that I'm supposed to do. I know that everywhere I turn, everybody's telling me to do meditation. Every movie that I watch is telling me to do meditation. Every book that I'm reading, everything is telling me meditate, meditate, meditate. And I didn't really start meditating on a regular basis until my son turned 4. And with my son being 4, my daughter being 9, and all of them going through their little changes that they're going through, I had to start meditating. So the universe put beautiful teachers in my path in the names of my children. And because of them, I have to meditate. Otherwise, I'm going to be very frustrated and not happy father. So that's how I came to meditate regularly. I wonder what the story is like for you. Please share that with us on our Facebook page. Again, a reminder, this is a live show, so feel free to call in and ask a question of me or Dina. You can do so for free at 888-429-5471. So now I'd like to bring on Dina and ask her about her experience in meditation and how she helps us do that in the real world very easily because we're much too busy to meditate, right? Hi, Dina.
Hi, Alan. It's so true. How are you? Thank you for having me here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I love talking to you. I know it's no secret that Dina is graciously agreed to be one of our featured experts on School of Human Potential, and her course on meditation is going to be right there. So it's a lot of fun, and I'm happy to finally have you on the radio. From the meditation perspective, I know I'm butchering this quote, but I know I read that somewhere. You need to meditate for 20 minutes a day. And if you think you can't meditate for 20 minutes a day, then meditate for an hour. Or something to that effect. Or if you think you're too busy, then you need that even more. Is that really the case that you have found with people?
Yeah, you know, it's so true. I use that. I've heard that attributed as like an old Zen saying or an old Buddhist saying. Yeah, and it is absolutely true because what I've discovered for myself is that when we are reacting to our days, you know the days where you just wake up and it's kind of like, oh my gosh, just get me to 9 p.m. You know, like how am I going to get the kids to school? How am I going to get through everything? I'm going to skip lunch like I always do. Like you're just running around haggard and harried and trying to put out fires and just make it from one thing to the next without anything kind of falling apart. Those are the days where it feels like we're not in control of our lives. It's like we're reacting to life rather than thoughtfully responding to it. Or can you even believe some people even plan their days and plan their lives? They're not running around putting out fires. What I've noticed for myself in meditation and what I've seen with other people is that the more intentional, connected, grounded we can become within our own beings, we can cultivate that feeling of being in the zone, right? Like being in the zone where you're super productive. You're doing a week's worth of work in 4 hours. You're cranking through stuff. You're totally absorbed in what you're doing. Time flies. And When you're meditating, when you're taking these little refocusing breaks throughout the day, you cultivate that. So you're actually more productive and you come to your day and to your life more in a responsive, thoughtful way rather than a hectic, scattered, kind of reactive way, if that
Dina,
makes sense.
Dina, be careful. I think you're going to be in trouble with Starbucks of the world. People choose other things in order to be more productive during the day, and they actually do that more than a few times a day, don't they?
It's so true.
I know.
Yeah, I get it.
Maybe we'll have a meditation station everywhere at work instead of a coffee station. People will just kind of gather around, meditate together for a few minutes, and go. So we'll have telecommunication. Well, not telecommunication. We already have that. I mean, we'll have telepathy. So
yeah,
our communication,
exactly.
Yeah, around the water cooler is not going to be speaking to each other. It'll be doing that via the telepathy methods.
The brain waves, right?
The new workplace. We talk to each other differently. I like that.
I love
we should
it.
Try that out. I know you're working with businesses. I'm not sure if you've tried that part yet.
Not that far, but we do have meditation stations
nice.
In business. So
that works.
Very productive. Very productive.
That works. All right. I know we're kind of jumping a little ahead, but for those people who haven't had a chance to go to your website, which, by the way, is dinaproctor.com. Okay, check it out. There's definitely a lot of very good information. There's information about the book, about your appearances, about your good friend Jack Canfield and other people. I love Jack. But your background, how did you start on this? And answer the question of, does one have to be a Buddhist in order to meditate?
Such a great question. I don't think anybody has to have any kind of training or background. If I can learn to meditate, I believe pretty much anybody on the planet who wants to can learn to meditate. I am doing this now as a complete and utter what we call synchronicity, but I call my life like a happy accident that I'm even doing this stuff right now. Just to kind of catch people up, if you haven't read about my story, just over 5 years ago is when I hit my rock bottom in my life. I had been in and out of depression for at least 12 years, you know, on and off medications, different antidepressant, different anti-anxiety medications. I'd gone to group therapy, one-on-one therapy. I had tried everything I could do to try and fix myself and fix my life and cure this depression. I just felt like there was this black hole, like this void inside of myself that I couldn't fill, no matter who I dated, no matter how much money I had, no matter what I was eating. And, you know, I just had this void that I could not fill up inside of myself. And I ended up towards the end, 7-8 years ago, horribly addicted to alcohol. And that was when I started sliding down kind of morality slippery slope. Like, I was lying to people I'd never lied to. I was using people. I was stealing money. I was just kind of becoming a bad person. And I was so desperate just for something to fix myself. I ended up doing one too many things that just kind of crossed me over the line to not wanting to live anymore. And that was my turning point right about 5 years ago. I ended up kind of unintentionally in an addiction recovery program. And one of the first things, I chose someone to guide me through the program. And one of the first things that this woman told me to do was to learn to meditate. And at the time, I did not believe in God. I had been raised Catholic, but I kind of became agnostic by default, you know, like atheist I didn't care. I didn't believe. It didn't have any proof to me that there was even a God. Just kind of an atheist. And I didn't really know what she meant when she said meditate. I thought, what is this floaty thing that you're trying to tell me to do? And how on earth is that practical? Don't you see I'm like pulling out my hair because I hate myself and I hate my life and I don't know what I should be doing right now? And she said, well, you've pretty much tried everything else except this. Why don't you give this a try? And I can't argue with that. So I listened to her instruction. And what she told me to do was very simply was to sit still every morning for 20 minutes and focus on my breathing. How hard could that be? I said, okay, no problem. I've got it. And the first few days I was in detox, you know, from alcohol just being all throughout my system and my body. I was days after I'd quit drinking. My body was still going through shakes and sweats and all of this physical detox stuff. Of course, my thoughts were just out of control. Should I kill myself? Should I not kill myself? Like horrible negative thoughts. So I sat down and I set a timer like she told me to for those 20 minutes. But after no more than 30 seconds, I just started sweating and I started shaking. And the thoughts were just horribly overwhelming. And after 3 minutes, my skin was crawling and I physically could not sit still any longer. I just couldn't take it. So I had to. I just got up and I thought, I'm just going to go about my day. But it nagged at me. And a couple hours later, it occurred to me, like, you know, I didn't do what she told me to do. I didn't do my whole 20 minutes. So I said, let me just sit down and see if I could do a few more minutes right now. So I sat down, same thing, started getting the itchy, sweaty, skin crawly feeling, the horrible negative thoughts, and I maxed out at about 3 minutes. But it occurred to me, you know, I could just do these little increments and I could add it up by the end of the day to 20 minutes. And that's what I did for those first few days. And I thought she'd be upset with me, like, what the heck is wrong with you? You can't even sit still for 20 minutes. But she told me, she said, whatever you can do is great. Just do what you can do. And so that is what eventually evolved into what I call 3x3 meditation, 3 minutes, three times a day. After about 8 weeks of this messy 3 minute here, 3 minute there. And I didn't even know who I was supposed to be talking to in this meditation or what I was supposed to be doing. Like, it, you know, all I would do, Alan, when I would sit there, I would just say, I'm open and willing. Just show me what to do. I didn't even know who I was talking to because I didn't believe in God, but those were the words that were just coming from my heart. It was just, I would just felt like my heart was just bleeding. Just please show me what to do. Show me. I will do anything. I've tried anything. I will do anything. It was like this desperation just kind of pouring through me. And after about 8 weeks, I had this experience in what I can only call a higher consciousness state. I came out of one of my 3 minute here, 3 minute there things. And when I opened my eyes out of the meditation, everything in the room was perfect. It was all exactly the same as it had been 3 minutes earlier, but at the same time, nothing was the same, if you know what I mean. I was in this state of just ultra present in the moment. I was so grounded within my being and so blissfully happy, and I had no words in my head. It was like I didn't know. If I had known that it was possible to feel that way without the help of drugs and alcohol, I would have gone for this before I ever tried any of these things, because that peaceful, blissful feeling that first day that this happened to me was way better than any of the drunks and highs I had experienced before. Like, it blew that stuff out of the water. And that's when I got really, you know, I just knew this is the path for me. I was opened up to so many truths. I just knew while I was in that higher state, it was like there's, we feel like time is so important. There's really no such thing as time. It was so clear to me. It was so clear to me that if I want anything in my exterior world to change, whether it's my body, my relationships, my job, my money situation, all of it is figured out on the inside first and has come to be reflected in the physical world. It's like I realized the physical world is just a mirror. It's just kind of an effect of what's going on. The cause is what's going on inside of me, my groundedness, centeredness, and connected to that center of power, peace, and wisdom inside of myself, or what people might call God or source essence. And that changed my life and the path that I went on. You know, it didn't happen overnight, but I was privy to truths of the universe in those moments that it's like you can't not know that after that. And that's how I live my life now, is using these little meditations to touch in, to make decisions, to follow my intuitive guidance, rather than always figuring stuff out with my head and my mind chatter.
Wow, it's a beautiful story. And there are so many things that you touched upon that I'd like to come back and talk to you about. But we're going to take a short commercial break. I invite everybody to call in and talk with us at 1-888-429-5471. And we'll continue talking about meditation, cheaper than LSD and legal in every state. Please stay with us as we'll be right back.
If you need help getting free from your past in order to clearly see the present so you can set your course and live your essence, I've got great news for you. Radio talk show host, author, inspirational speaker, and life purpose coach Alan Vaisberg is waiting to help you recalibrate your life. At recalibrateyourlife.com, you'll find the 5 simple steps Alan will lead you through to help you reach the place in life that has been eluding you. Restore, renew, and recalibrate today at recalibrateyourlife.com.
Are you tired of all of the negativity in children's fiction? Does your child suffer from night terrors or frequent bad dreams? Do you wish there was a series for your child to read that is fun and inspirational? The Wishflower Field, Marie's Triumph, is a fanciful book that not only entertains, but builds inner strength. Join the many that have seen the difference this positive book has made in the way their children handle fear. The Wish Flower Field is truly a series that appeals to all ages and empowers within. Visit thewishflowerfield.com for your copy today. That's thewishflowerfield.com.
And welcome back to School of Human Potential Radio. We're talking with Dina Proctor about meditation. Dina, there are so many things that you brought up during your background, during your transition period of moments of despair into where you are right now. And I'd like to talk to you about some of those, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course.
So one of the things that we as people, and I think that's generally applied to every one of us, is we try to fill the external voids, or we try rather to fill the voids by external means instead of looking internally. And meditation is just one of the ways of looking internally, because externally you can go to alcohol, you can go to sex, you can go to shopping, you can go to any distractions, television for instance, but you're not going to fill that void unless you start looking on the inside. And meditation was that for you, and I hope that is for a lot of people. What do you suggest to those people who are trying to fill that void externally and they're not thinking of meditation?
It's such a great question. Well, I'll share an analogy with you. I love analogies. This might not be my only one I share, but I have an analogy that I call it plugging in your power cord, because that's what I feel like I'm doing. I actually got that analogy from one of the first people that I coached. And she said, when I meditate, it feels like I'm plugging in my power cord, like I'm powering up, I'm juicing my batteries. I said, yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. Here's the thing, is that we come into this earth, when we're born, we know what hunger feels like. We know what it feels like to feel tired or to want to go for a run and exercise. Like, our body is constantly communicating to us. The intelligence within the cells of our body and our minds are always telling us what they need, and we're responding to that. But a lot of times we don't tune in fully. So for example, we might feel hungry, but we're not tuning into what the cells might be calling for. So we're just kind of like checking hunger off the list and just feeding our faces just so we can get to the next thing, rather than saying, okay, cells of my body, I know you're indicating you're hungry. You must be hungry for something. Let me tune in and see what that might be and honor that. So what we do is, instead of plugging in where the information is coming from that centeredness, that power, peace, and wisdom, that greater intelligence that's already inside of our bodies and our minds, we try to get that information outside of ourselves. So I've found, let me use this example of like intuitive eating, right? A lot of people teach intuitive eating. I didn't know that. I just kind of came up with it on my own when I wanted to lose weight. After I quit drinking, I started eating a lot, whatever I needed to lose some weight. But what I noticed was that even though we might not think that we're being given these signals, these intuitive signals, we are being given these intuitive signals. It's just that the voice of our intuition is a little bit quieter than the voices in our minds, so we don't hear it as much. So we look outside. Oh, okay, let me count these calories or these carbs or whatever, which is perfectly legitimate. All of those things are legitimate, but I have found that those things almost take care of themselves when I tune in to my body's wisdom and eat according to that, just for an example. So what we're doing is, we need to get that information or satisfy that need or that craving from somewhere. And when we don't turn inward to listen to the cells of our body, to listen to that voice of our intuition, what jobs should I take or what should I do with my money? We look on the outside. We look with practical, logical reasoning. We use our brains and our minds for this stuff, but our intuition will guide us on a much more dynamic scale and can see, what we can't, and we can be that's what our intuitive wisdom knows. It sees the bigger picture and just lets us know our part to play, the next step for us to take. So when we're plugging in, when we want to fill that void, we have a need to fill, like we're hungry or we're unsatisfied or we're restless or we're, we have a need for something. A lot of us just look to the exterior world. What are other people doing? Or, I know this has worked in the past, let me just use this right now. So we're, instead of plugging in where our power cord was designed to be plugged into, we start plugging into alcohol or dating or booze, or food or drugs or whatever. We need to get that power and information from somewhere, but we're just plugging into the wrong stuff. So I would say, to people that feel like it's the same feeling when you're hungry and all you're eating is junk food. You could eat a lot of junk food and still not feel satisfied, even though you've technically probably eaten more than your fill of calories, because that's not what you're hungry for. It's the same thing with what I get from meditation. We're trying to get this access to the center of power, peace, and wisdom inside of ourselves. If we're looking outside of that, we're going to look forever and ever. That's why I couldn't drink enough alcohol to fill that void. It was constantly this need. When I started tuning inside to where I was designed to be plugged into using the meditation, that's where I found that satiation. I was able to really get fulfilled using that practice.
Beautiful answer. Thank you. That makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
We're thinking of who's driving the bus. Are we allowing our minds or our brains to drive the bus, or should we be allowing something else like our intuition mm-hmm. and our higher guidance? And then I'm sure there's going to be a lot of a big difference of where we're driving to.
That's very true.
Very cool. Another thing that you've mentioned of you didn't know who you were talking to. Do you know now who you're talking to?
Oh, like when I was saying, help me,
yes.
help me. Yeah, it's a great question. So my concept of God at this point is kind of like, you know, in Star Wars, they say the Force. That's how mm-hmm. I think of God now. I think of it as not an entity or person-like, you know, being that's outside of myself. I believe that God is this source energy that is the power, peace, and wisdom inside each one of us. And it's the same thing with, if I look down at my body, it's like I've got these arms and legs and fingers and eyes and everything works and my lungs are breathing even when I'm not aware of it. And it's got this intelligence to it that I don't even know, have to know how it works. It just works. Like I didn't design my body and here I am driving it, you know? So for mm-hmm. me, God is the designer of that, the creator of that, not just my body, but everything in the universe, my body just being an example. It's like the creative energy and the intentional force of love and, you know, energy towards positive expansion that we all come from. And when we touch back into that and remember and honor that, that's where, and, you know, I think it's effective to, because I've coached people who have a traditional Catholic God that I've grown up with. I've coached people that don't believe in God, because we can all understand, especially when I use the body example, we didn't design our bodies. There is an intelligence greater than ourselves, no matter what you want to call it. So that's what I think of as God. And I can speak to it kind of in different ways that however people orient themselves towards God, I can usually understand and use my wording towards that so that they can understand it from their perspective.
Got it. And that is the that being, that force, as you call it, and that's where you're getting answers and insights into how the universe works, for instance?
Exactly, yeah. And it's this, and it comes from, you know, what's interesting is because it's not words in my head, it's mm-hmm. a feeling in my solar plexus or in my heart area. I can tell when I'm really connected, because I think if you had a temperature control near my heart area, you would notice the temperature is rising. There's heat that's there. It's like my heart is the one that has all this knowledge, wisdom, and information. It comes to me not in words, but more in images. I can tell if it's a voice that's coming to me, and not to say that other people might have, you know, it's a voice for them or audio for them or visual or kinesthetic, whatever. There's different things for different people. But for me, I know that if it's coming to me in words, that's the voice in my head. For me, it's like this feeling that I get, and occasionally an image that'll pop into my mind. That's how I know it's my intuition. I also know it's my intuition because my intuition is not generally urgent. If something feels urgent or compulsive or obsessive, generally that's not the voice of my intuition.
Very cool. Very mm-hmm. cool. Yeah, for me, it's you know, it's images and it's knowing. It's not words, but it's mm-hmm. knowing. The words are flowing when I start talking and I'm connected. And then the words are just flowing on their own and I'm not even noticing until something in me kind of takes a look from the side. And I'm like, what did I just say? Where mm-hmm. did that come from? And then I start thinking about it. What just happened? And then analyzing, you understand what you just said. So it's not coming from me. It's coming through me.
Yes.
Yeah, that's for me. But it's very cool of how Beautiful. That works for you. And I love that you said that you're feeling it in the heart and solar plexus, because from everyone that I talk to in my own experience, all of these insights are not coming when we're connecting through the mind. They're all coming when we're connected to the heart, because that heart is the connection space to the universe. And that's where all of that information comes in from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool. All right. So other things that I want to talk to you about. And by the way, for those people that want to call in, the phone number is 888-429-5471. If you have any questions for Dina or myself, feel free to call in. I want to ask you to guide us through a meditation. Would you be comfortable doing that?
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, of course.
Let's do that. So since it's only 3 minutes, and I know it's closer to the end of the day, but hopefully we can do it again and again today. So what would you like us to do?
Absolutely. Okay, great. So we'll just do something really simple, just kind of like a relaxation one. And you know, I've done meditation, everything from losing weight to lowering cholesterol to changing my relationships. You really can use it for anything, but right now we'll just do something simple and relaxing. So anybody listening, if you'd like to participate, I'd encourage you, if you've been sitting in the same position the last little while Alan and I have been chatting, I invite you to shift your body, even if it's in a small way, just to renew your energetic presence in the space, whatever's comfortable for you. And as you settle in, just bring your focus gently to rest on your breathing right now. There's nothing else you need to do, nowhere else you need to be, but just gently relaxing and focusing on your breath right now. And as you feel your body relax, just let the chair you're in hold you up. You may feel your muscles just letting go, releasing, kind of melting. You also may notice that the thoughts in your mind are just completely relaxing, just thoughts just melting out of you, and just total relaxation in this moment. And as you keep your focus on your breathing, there's no need to slow it down or speed it up. Just notice it. Just notice your breath. And as you focus on your breathing right now, I invite you to intend on your in-breath to bring in peace, wisdom, a sense of joy. As you breathe in on every inhale, inhale peace and wisdom and joy. And you can just feel it as it enters your lungs. That breath is infiltrating every cell of your body and just dripping peace, wisdom, and joy into every cell. And as that breath flows through every cell of your body, it grabs anything that your cells no longer need and releases it gently on the exhale. So just breathe normally and imagine that you're breathing in what you most want right now, whether it's peace, wisdom, and joy. Letting it go all throughout every cell of your body, grabbing anything your cells no longer need and releasing gently on the exhale. And just let your body go through another couple breaths just like that. Just knowing your cells are being infiltrated with exactly what they need, and easily releasing anything they no longer need to hang on to. And just let your body take one more deep breath, just like that, inhaling what your cells most need, feeling it infiltrate every cell, and then gently releasing anything the cells of your body no longer needing on the exhale. And let your body just continue to relax for another moment, letting your breath just normalize and returning your attention to the room whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Dina. That was lovely. And for everybody that was very relaxed with their eyes closed, I'm sorry for speaking up in the middle of it, but We've reached our time limit. That was 3 minutes, so we've done that meditation. And thank you. All the jokes aside, that was very, very loving and something that people can certainly do anytime. And you know, we recommend it from School of Human Potential, from my personal experience, from everybody that I've talked to, including Dina. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter where you are. When you're at work and you're, you know, ticked off at somebody because they didn't do what you asked them to do, or somebody's expecting something of you, just close your eyes for a few minutes and breathe. And then you'll feel much better about yourself, the whole situation. And then you'll save yourself a lot of stress. So very, very cool. Thank you, Dina. We appreciate that.
Yeah, of course.
I also love that this particular meditation, when you're breathing in, you're breathing in whatever that you want most. So peace, wisdom, joy, health, love, fulfillment, anything. And then you're breathing out the things that you don't need. I remember, and I don't think that I read about this, but I remember a while ago calming down, and I kind of go through the calming period before I go to bed or before I go to sleep, because this is usually in bed. And I would tell myself, I breathe in health, or I breathe in love, or I breathe in light, and I breathe out negativity or darkness or attachments or anything else. So I would naturally do that. And then I started reading and hearing people say that, that that's a normal way of doing things. So internally, you know, I'm not considering myself anything that's extraordinary. I am just like everybody else. Internally, if you listen to the thoughts that are coming into your mind as you begin to meditate, it's going to give you a lot of cool stuff. That's how I wrote my 5-minute shower meditation. I was standing in the shower and I tried to calm down and relax because it was after a very stressful period. And I started hearing a my guides coming through and giving me the shower meditation. I wrote about it. It's on the blog. Dina has seen it. So just trust yourself. You don't have to listen to a specific meditation tape, although there are many beautiful ones out there. Listen to yourself and your guides, and those will tell you what is right for you at that particular time.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Very cool. And by the way, just not plugging anything, but from a professional perspective, what did you think of my 5-minute shower meditation?
Oh, I thought it was great. Really great. Like such a great idea. Such a, you know, a really great idea and practical.
I thought it was great. I'm going to try to bring that down to 3 minutes, but I thought 5 minutes worked for me.
I love it.
Yes, as long as it's an odd number, because that's what I read in the marketing book. People are much more interested in odd numbers than even numbers. There's actually research done that when you're posting things on Facebook, since a lot of us do that, anytime that somebody is posting with number six ways to do something or 8 ways, it actually has 20 or more percent less clicks than if you had 5 ways or 3 ways or 7 ways. People, for some reason, are attracted to odd numbers. So that's very, very interesting things. Yep.
It is.
Yep. So good job by you on the 3. Apparently, good job by me on the 5-minute chart.
I love it.
Very cool. All right. So one other thing that I wanted, not one other thing. There are many other things I wanted to ask you about. Going back to your time of despair when you were sitting you were sitting for the 20 minutes or trying to, and you were saying, show me what to do. You've mentioned once again that you were connecting in your heart. You were asking, show me what to do, show me what to do. I think that is a very, very specific thing that people need to realize. And I'd like to talk to you more about that specifically, because show me what to do is you going outside, but within. It's not you're not asking somebody else of show me what to do. You're asking the universe through you, show me what to do for me. It's still trying to fill that void. It's still seemingly going outside, but really you're going internal.
Yeah, that very well put and good catch, you know. I never thought about that, but you're absolutely right. It was I was seeking. I didn't know what I was seeking, but really I was seeking within, and that's what was shown to me was the answer from within. It's exactly right.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you were being open, because a lot of the times when we're asking those questions and, you know, show me what to do, I will do it. You already have, you know, you're closed off, and people are, you know, putting these blocks and barriers, show me what to do, but not A, B, C, D, E, and F, right? I will only do that, and only if it's on these particular terms. That's not really being open, right? So if you are seeking a solution, you need to be open to it. And that's where it comes with the heart being open and ready for it. And the fact that you hit rock bottom at that point was just opening you up further for those types of insights. And that's something that you don't have to hit rock bottom to do. Just open up and really hear what's coming in.
It's so true. Very true. Just to be open and willing. It's a gift.
And in terms of the time, because, you know, there are lots of meditation CDs, there are lots of people who are talking about meditating. You know, your mentor told you to sit and focus on your breath for 20 minutes. I know, to me, it doesn't matter whether it's 20 minutes, 3 minutes, or something else, but have you found that 3 minutes versus 15 minutes versus an hour meditation, does that really matter in your experience?
That's a great question. What I have found is that even if sometimes in the morning, especially if I'm really open in meditation, I'll let it go as long as it wants to go. And it can be, it's not usually an hour. It's sometimes it'll go 15, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, something like that. I just let it show me like how, where it's going to go. But even if I do that, which technically covers my quota, right? Because now I do 9 minutes a day. It's like, oh, sweet. I already did my, no, because the point is you want to touch into that space of being. That's why I always say meditation for me is not something to check off the to-do list. It's not, you know, I went to the grocery store, I went to the gym, I meditated, I brushed my teeth, check, check, check. It's not like that. For me, it's a state of being. It's a state of a place to live from within myself. So even if I meditate for a longer period at one of my times during the day, I still do the other two little 3 minuters. For me, 3 minutes is enough because it gets me to where I want to go. I have even found some people have said 3 minutes is even too much. I can't see myself leaving my kid. You know, I've got a baby. I can't leave him for three whole minutes or whatever. Like, I understand that. I understand there's, I've even found that three intentionally taken deep breaths, which are just a few seconds, can alter the way that I'm feeling on the inside. So for me, it's not about the time spent. It's kind of like instead of doing laps in a swimming pool, it's kind of like jumping off the deep end and touching the bottom. You don't have to stay there, but you do have to touch it. So if you just do a deep dive and touch that space, you don't have to stay there. Stay there for 30 seconds. If that's, you know, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, and then you can come back up. But the thing is to have the intention to go down and touch that space and then come out of it. So 3 minutes is a great amount of time. Like, I've worked with businesses and with individuals and, you know, even in the workplace, it's not too much time. It's shorter than a smoke break or a bathroom break or, you know, it's not too day interrupting. And it also can help you recenter yourself if you have had something happen in the morning that's just thrown you off. You know, everybody's had that. We have something happen to us. We got bad news or we got a phone call or we had a weird client interaction and just kind of taints the rest of our day. And we're just thinking, my gosh, I can't even focus because something happened at 9:30 this morning. Well, if you take these breaks to process that, you take 3 minutes and just kind of let yourself vent it out, or if you need to cry or whatever you need to do to process it, or even to just let it go, relax, and get yourself refocused, it increases your productivity in the day. So it's like taking breaks to be more efficient. It sounds kind of like it's contradictory, but it's actually very, very practical.
No, it's very cool. And I love the visual that you just did of touching that deep end of the pool. That's a very cool visual. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. You don't have to stay there, but you do have to touch.
Yeah. Staying there for a long period of time is probably not a good idea.
Exactly.
And speaking of that, because that actually ties into the next point of I am sure, and I'm certainly not the only example of it, because I talk to people all the time who said they do this too, but many people start falling asleep when they're meditating. Is there a right or wrong way of doing that? Should they be sitting instead of laying down? Should the palms be facing up instead of, you know, down? Should it be at a certain point during the day versus night? What rules people need to know about meditation?
Yeah, I love this. Well, I could speak for me because I know that I don't meditate laying down because of that. I tend to not be as focused. And it's funny because in the first like 3 to 4 months that I was doing this messy 3 minute here, 3 minute there, I'm so desperate thing, my body was almost indicating to me, because I started as just like a ball curled up on the couch. Like, I was just a disaster. So I didn't know how to sit. No one had told me that. And I found that as I became more engaged in the meditation, my body was indicating to me that to sit kind of towards the edge of the chair with my back straight and my feet just kind of flat on the floor, nothing crossed. Now I prefer to meditate kind of sitting Indian style, but I like that super straight back. But that's just for me. I know people who like to lay out with their arms completely wide open and just laying down, even in the business. You know, at the meditation station, you're just laying down completely on the floor. So it's different for everyone. The one thing that I do advise to people, especially if you're just starting meditating, is not to meditate while you're in bed. And that's just because usually people are feeling, well, I'm kind of relaxed. I think I'm kind of meditating right now, kind of. I'm probably just getting it over with. And that, you know, you don't want to be in that I'm checking it off the list because I feel relaxed type of phase. It needs to have an intentionality to it. So that's why even if in the middle of the night I can't sleep, I will physically get out of bed, sit up straight, and do a 3-minute meditation, and then I can sleep better. That's just for me personally. There probably are a ton of people who are like, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, sleep without my in-bed meditation. And I get that and I respect that. But I think in the beginning, if you tend to feel that you're falling asleep, there could be two things going on. I've noticed just from clients I've known who've had that problem is that either you're genuinely sleep deprived and your body is just trying to take advantage of any type of relaxation to just catch a couple Z's, right? So it could be a physical body need, or I've noticed I get sleepy in meditation if something's coming up that I'd rather not deal with. So if something is showing itself to me of like a conversation I need to have or something I need to, you know, clear out within myself, I might get like a sleepy feeling, but I can tell that that's my sleepy avoidant feeling. So just feel around with it. But I would say that if you tend to fall asleep, don't meditate when you're in bed, and, you know, sit, I would say whatever's comfortable for your body. Our bodies all indicate different things. If your back is not comfortable sitting straight, obviously honor that about yourself. But for me, it's best with my back as straight as it can be.
Very cool. And palms up, palms down, does that matter?
I don't know. I don't really. I'm trying to, like, actually, I'm sitting in the place, and I guess I keep my palms, like, up, kind of resting on my knees when I'm Indian style. But I, like, no one ever taught me that. I just kind of do that. It's like my body showed me that. So.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best thing to do. You have to do what feels comfortable for you.
Yeah.
I know that we've all seen, and there are certainly many statues that we've seen with the palms up, with the different mudras. And from the energetic perspective, I can understand of the chakras. And yes, there are chakras on your palms as well, of chakras facing, you know, up. So you can actually bring that energy down. As I'm doing that, I'm feeling energy coming in. Very cool. So there are many reasons, and I heard from people that, you know, normally you would want to keep your palms up, but I've never researched why. So just interesting to ask.
It is interesting. It is interesting. I also know that I've meditated on airplanes. I've meditated in, you know, a line waiting for food or the grocery store or something, just with 3 deep breaths. So I think that I just want to encourage that. If there's not a place for you to hide away, even if you're in the middle of a meeting room or a conference room or something, you can still be able to get yourself grounded and centered, even if you're not able to get into an ideal position like that. So there's really no place I could think of that I wouldn't be able to, because you just want to plug in. You know, when you have that intention, you'll get there.
Perfect. Well, I guess try not to meditate when you're actually touching that deep end of the pool. during the time.
Yeah, that might be the safety. That'll be the caveat. Yeah, not so much when you're underwater.
Yes. On that note, I think everybody can take another 3-minute break and meditate while we take a short commercial break. And we'll be right back with you on School of Human Potential Radio.
If you need help getting free from your past in order to clearly see the present so you can set your course and live your essence, I've got great news for you. Radio talk show host, author, inspirational speaker, and life purpose coach Alan Vaisberg is waiting to help you recalibrate your life. At recalibrateyourlife.com, you'll find the 5 simple steps Alan will lead you through to help you reach the place in life that has been eluding you. Restore, renew, and recalibrate today at recalibrateyourlife.com.
Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task, never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. Perfect. I'm going to take a slight pause just to make sure that everybody's finished meditating, and I'll come back in 3, 2, 1, and now open your eyes and you're back into your room. Look at the surroundings, and we're still here. Dina and I are still here talking about meditation. I hope everything was great. Now you're done with two. So when we wrap up with the show, then you can go and finish with one more and you're good. You did the 9 minutes for the day, and that should be your first day of starting on that path of meditation. See, Dina, we're changing the world 9 minutes at a time.
9 minutes at a time.
Love that. Okay. Again, love. Many of the things that you say, and I keep writing down notes, as in meditation is not a check mark that I check off the list. That's actually a very cool thing, because we're goal-oriented people, and we put in a specific number of steps that we need to do every day. I need to call these people. I need to do these chores. I need to feed my pet, and then I need to meditate. And if we look at it like that, then we try to psychologically prioritize. You know, can I do these things later? Or what importance do I place on this? Because that's how we deal with it in the work. We shouldn't put meditation in those categories. Meditation should be a way of life. I love that.
Mm, yeah. It's been my experience, you know?
Yeah. No, it's and very true. And I'm one of those people. I'm putting on as a reminder to myself that I should meditate. And I'm realizing that I shouldn't be doing that. Meditation should be just something that I do. It's not a thing. It is a being. It's a feeling. So, okay, I'm making that mental note, and I'll put that on my checklist. Just kidding. Very cool. All right. So other things that I want to talk to you about. You have a book that's out. I know that when did you write it, actually? Because I know it's been 5 years from the time when you started meditating up until now. When did you write the book?
Well, the book is a really interesting story because I'm not a writer. I never considered myself a writer. I never liked writing papers in college or anything. I started writing about 4 years ago, and it's only because I was looking for a hobby. It's funny because I was living in Santa Monica, and I was looking through the Santa Monica College catalog, right? And they have night classes, and I was trying to decide between taking a writing class, a knitting class, or a Spanish class because I thought, oh, I'd like to learn all three. And something about the writing class just kind of grabbed me. And so I took it for 6 weeks, and then I stopped writing. But, 6 months later, I ran into someone from the class, and she said, you need to keep writing. Your story needs to be told. And I went back, and I kept going with it. And then I met Jack Canfield, and then it became a book. So it was interesting, but what's funny is I don't think I would have even started writing if I had known that it was going to be a book. It's like I'm so glad that I was let in on the grand plan kind of incrementally so I didn't get intimidated or overwhelmed. And I was able to write from the place of just my heart and my soul. I was totally uncensored when I was writing because I didn't think anyone would ever read it. And that's the best place to write from. You don't want your editor or your self-conscious hat on while you're writing. So...
That's awesome. So a follow-up question to that is, have you ever taken up Spanish or knitting after that?
I didn't. But I think I'd still like to learn. I think I'd still like to learn.
Okay. I sense another book of 3 minutes knitting a day or listening to Spanish meditation. How about that? Just tie them all three into a nice little knot.
I think that's perfect.
See, yes, yeah, Ellen, the idea man. Another thing that you just brought up, and I think that's so important for everybody to realize, is that the grand plan is going to come in incrementally, and that is cool because I can bet that people want to start meditating, say, okay, I'm going to speak to my force, and I'm going to ask the force to guide me. I want to see the entire layout and the picture of what I'm going to be doing for the next 50 years, and I want it to be in this order. And that's not going to work.
Yeah.
And we don't want people to be disappointed, because that's not how the universe works. That grand plan, you're going to get it incrementally based on what you need right now. And then when you reach that point, they're going to show you something else and move on from there. Mm-hmm. That's a very important point. So you've found that to be true with your experience as well?
Yeah, it's true. I always remind myself I'm on a need-to-know basis. And until I need to know, I don't know. And this doesn't mean that human beings don't have free will. It's not like I'm fated to write this book. You know, I could have as easily chosen a Spanish class and maybe I'd be talking about this stuff in Spanish or whatever. You know, you don't know. I just went with – I don't believe that we have one destiny or one career choice or one, you know, soulmate. I believe that there are several possibilities for every human being to have absolute fulfillment in every area of their lives. And this is just the one that inspired me the most at the time, and I just totally fell in love with it. And one thing kind of showed it to my – you know, myself showed it to me one at a time. I had that great intention of wanting to help people with what I had learned, but I didn't know how to birth that. And I didn't even necessarily have an intention towards that, like thinking, oh, I've got to write a book and create a business around it. I just thought, I'd love to create something that really helps people. And I remember when I went through what I was going through, I was so ashamed that I was in addiction. Like, how could this have happened to me? How did I let my life get so out of control? And I didn't want anyone to know what a mess I was. And I remember thinking, if there was a book I could have just bought anonymously of someone else who had gone through it, I would have done that. And that's what I wanted to create for people, was just something out there who, if they were feeling like no one understood, that there could be a book out there, something they could buy anonymously, you know, that could help them through it. That was kind of the intention. Everything else just showed itself one step at a time. And it's a gift. And I remind myself, like, sometimes I get impatient with, okay, I know what law of attraction is now, and how come stuff isn't happening faster, and all of those kind of things. I remind myself, like, wait a minute. It's actually to my benefit that I'm not overwhelmed with this stuff, that I am given this incrementally as I need it. It's like listening to the GPS system in your car. You know, if you're driving across the country from LA to New York, when you're outside of Los Angeles, you don't need to know the right and left turns you're going to be taking in Denver. That's like, it's kind of superfluous. Like, who would need to know that until you get there? So I just remind myself, like, just because I'm not being given the instruction down the road right now doesn't mean the instruction isn't there. It will be there, and it will let itself be known to me as I advance further on this path. So I just remind myself, I'm on a need-to-know basis. I know what I need to know for this hour, for this day. Tomorrow, I'll know what I need to do tomorrow. And it takes itself from there. And then you kind of have a bit of a worry-free present-in-the-moment life, because you've got to stay present in order to recognize the voice of your intuition, to recognize if there's a subtle hint of, like, I wouldn't have run into that woman that got me back into my writing if I hadn't gone to a coffee shop that I don't normally go to. I was walking towards the one I always go to, and something told me, go two blocks down to the other one. I don't even know what that was, but it did. And there she was, and she got me back into the writing. So it's these little tiny things. It's like, who knew that an inkling to go to a different coffee shop was going to end up in me getting committed to writing a book? So you never know why these intuitive guidances are coming to you, but you honor them because you trust that, you know, like the control tower landing the planes, even if I don't see any planes around me and I'm saying, hello, can't I land? There's no one here. They can see better than I can. And so I trust their knowledge. And that's the voice of my intuition. It can see from the mountaintop view where all of these train tracks are interacting, all of our little lives spider webbing together. And so I trust that voice to let me know where best to put, you know, my little train on the track.
Perfect. And you are full of beautiful visuals. I love that.
Now it's kind of crazy. I know.
That's great. Again, we're on the radio and we're talking, and these visuals, every time you say something, it's in my head. I see that, and it's such a beautiful way of doing it. I love that.
Yeah.
Being present, everyone that we speak with, and this is for the past year that I've done these shows, and I've talked to wonderful experts from all over the world. Everyone, doesn't matter what they're talking about, it's all about being present. And that is such an important piece to the puzzle. I love the way that you're putting it, of you're trusting your intuition, you're trusting your force to guide you while you are present in that particular experience in this moment. It's not that you're not planning for the future, because you obviously are, but you're not worrying about the future and you're going towards it, trusting that you'll make the right way. That's very, very cool. And you know, if it takes meditation or it takes people hearing this or it takes them reading your book to get there, I think that message is a very, very important one that can help them in life.
Mm, yeah, thank you.
Very cool. Last thing that I wanted to bring up before we go, and the topic of avoidance. I wanted to finish on something more positive, but the topic of avoidance is a very is a very important one that I don't want to degrade. You've mentioned that you know, based on that little sleepy feeling, if there's something that you're trying to avoid. Avoidance is a big part of our life, isn't it?
I think so. For a lot of people, most people that I know are avoiding something for sure.
And isn't it interesting that whatever we're avoiding, it just comes back to us in circles. It keeps on going around and around, and it keeps on presenting itself in a different experience. And we know that until we deal with that particular thing, it's not going to disappear, and it just keeps on going around and around. So yeah. Avoidance is not a policy that works. Avoiding something doesn't help you. Dealing with it helps you. And meditation is something that'll help you get to that point so you can deal with it and throw it out and be done with it. Very, very cool. As we're wrapping up, and I thank you once again so much for coming on and sharing your experience with us and talking about, you know, your revelations and the ease with which we can all do meditations. What would be a parting thought to everybody as they're embarking onto their normal everyday life in terms of your experience and what it has taught you?
I love this question. I would say that for anyone just starting out, don't worry about committing to this for the rest of your life or for, you know, for more than a month or something like that. I always advise people take it 7 days at a time and think of it like, I think of meditation as feeding my soul. You know, we don't freak out that we have to eat 3 times a day. Like, oh, I ate lunch yesterday and you're telling me I got to eat lunch again tomorrow? Really? You know, it's more like we're nurturing ourselves. We're feeding ourselves. That's what we're not going for, like the degree that we're going to reach and then we can stop for the rest of our lives. It's about this feeding ourselves thing. It's the nurturing ourselves, taking care of ourselves. It's, you know, you don't shower 25 times in one day and say, oh, I'm good for the next month. I don't have to shower because I already, no, it's something that you need to renew to get yourself into. And I would encourage people too to remember that I believe absolutely anything that you want to create, whether it's for your body, your financial situation, your relationship, in any corner of your life, whatever you want to experience in your exterior world is absolutely possible by nurturing your internal world and that connection to that intuitive voice inside of you. And it doesn't have to be done all at once. It's more efficiently done if you stay present in the moment, 1 day at a time, 1 hour at a time. Commit to a new meditation practice just for 7 days. If it works, go for another 7 days. It's just that simple, and you will get there, 1 foot in front of the other.
Perfect. Well, thank you everybody for listening, and thank you, Dina Proctor, for coming on and sharing your experience with us. Absolutely. Till next time, we will see you again on School of Human Potential Radio.
Thank you once again for listening to School of Human Potential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the program and are inspired to make a positive change in your life. For more information about the school, please like our Facebook page and visit www.schoolhp.com. To sign up for a session with Alan, please visit www.recalibrateyourlife.com or call 1-800-323-1619.